Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Okay, if you want to turn to James chapter 4, while you're turning there, we're all aware that we're living in a pretty significant moment in history. And there's more that's taken place in the first 2.5 months of this year than I think probably took place in the whole of last year, or maybe even the last few years put together so far in 2.5 months. From natural disasters to nation uprisings and revolutions, the financial impact of what's going on and all of that. I don't know what you've been doing the last week or two in particular in relation to the situation in Japan, but you flick the telly on or you put the radio on, and you might have only listened to it 3 or 4 hours later, but there's a whole load of things that have happened in 3 or 4 hours, either with Libya or with another nation happening or with what's going on in Japan. And it's not like there's just one main story of the week these days. There's multiple stories going on all of the time. And if you don't keep an ear out for the news every 24, 48 hours, it's like the whole thing's moved on to another place. And, you know, when you see things in the natural accelerating like that, it's because God's accelerating things spiritually around the nations. And you don't have a natural acceleration without there being a spiritual acceleration. God isn't behind the times. There's not all this acceleration of things happening all over the world and God's back here somewhere thinking, oh, right, that's a bit quick. I didn't realise that was going to happen like that. Or I better catch up with what's going on. No, God knows what goes on in any season or generation of time, and he's already ahead of it because he's seeing over it and looking down on it. So he's already outside it. So he's looking down on what is going on and he's saying, yep, okay, I knew that was going to take place. Yeah, I knew the guys were going to blow it around the world financially and they were going to end up doing this. I know greed was going to motivate that, and I knew this disaster was happening. I knew that nation would overthrow that one. I knew there's going to be a revolution there. I knew the wall was going to come down over there, and I knew this whole belief system was going to start crumbling here, and I knew this. God's not looking down, freaking out, and wondering what on earth's going on. He's just looking down, saying, okay, I created man in my image. I brought him into relationship with me. I gave him free will. He chose to be independent from me in sin. So suddenly, it wasn't just man that went out of kilter. It was the whole of creation that went out of kilter with me. And so that's there. But I've already got a plan of salvation. And down here somewhere, I'm going to send Jesus to return, wind it all up, and then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. But during this little period of time here, there's going to be really the consequences of man's independence being worked out on the earth. And it's going to look like financial mess at times. It's going to look like nations overthrowing nations at times. It's going to look like all this drug addiction at times. It's going to look like human trafficking. It's going to look like people crying out in despair out of nowhere, saying, "What? There must be more than I'm living in." There's going to be natural disasters, earthquakes and tsunamis, and there's going to be man disasters because of nuclear stuff. It's like God looks down. There's a period of time where all this is going to work out. People are going to say, "Where's God in it all?" Well, God's there. He's looking down. He's giving man his moment of time because man thinks he can do it all and be the end all and everything. But God's already got a plan of salvation that he's working out today. And in the midst of that, there is amazing hope. In the midst of all this, there's amazing salvation. In the midst of all of this, there's amazing healing. In the midst of all this, there's an amazing destiny that you can find in God. In the middle of this, from man sinning through to Jesus returning, God's plan of salvation is still being worked out. We're probably down here somewhere in that process. Who knows? None of us know. We think Jesus is coming back in a few weeks, few months, few years' time. There seems to be, but who knows? We could all be dead before Jesus comes back. But we've got to live today like he's coming back today. Let's just have a look at some scriptures for a minute. The next, I don't know how many weeks this will take, months even, but we're going to be looking as a church at what is the gospel? How do we live the gospel? How are we people that live out the life, the power, the hope, the goodness, the love, the grace, the mercy, the righteousness of the gospel? We want to be a completely gospelized people. of people that are completely saturated with the truth of God's word, of what the gospel is, what it means to live in the gospel, live out the gospel, express the gospel, release the gospel, the joy of the gospel, the hope of the gospel, the love of the gospel, the mercy of the gospel, the grace of the gospel, the goodness of the gospel, the power of the gospel, the authority of the gospel, the salvation of the gospel, the forgiveness of the gospel, the unfailing love of the gospel. We want to be a people that are just living and oozing the life of the gospel. Because that's what the world needs. I've preached my whole sermon in 2 minutes. There's no point looking now because I've got nothing else to say. I've just summed it up. I should have summed it up at the end, but I summed it up at the beginning. So just so you've had your money's worth, we'll have 20 minutes of getting into the word, shall we? Or do you want to go home now? Okay, let's have a look. We'll just read a few things because actually this will put a weight to it rather than me just whatever. James chapter 4. It's amazing how the Bible addresses everything that's going on today. And it was written thousands of years ago. This is James. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or to that city. Spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag, and all such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. So, I mean, you can read a few things into that in terms of what's going on, in terms of maybe the financial crisis and the way that generally society, the world is living, saying, well, we can do this or that or the other. We can make money. We can do a business. We can and you see the acceleration of things through the all the social media and all of that kind of stuff that's going on. And wasn't it amazing looking at some of these pictures on the TV when that tsunami came in? Some people were driving their cars along the road and they had no idea that just over the hill there was a 30-foot wave that was about to end their life. But yet they're driving along in their car. They didn't have the radio on, didn't hear any warnings. They're going about doing this or that, living their life. There might have been somebody who was about to get an amazing business deal, somebody else who was about to make another decision about their life, somebody who's just minding their own business. But yet, in the blink of an eye, a 30-foot tsunami comes and that's the end. No warning, no idea. And probably the people weren't even thinking that, there's a plan of salvation and one day maybe that will happen, or what's going to happen in my life today, what are my plans, where am I going and all that. But suddenly it's finished. And the Bible talks about here, we do this and we do that, we make this plan and we make that plan. We live like we've got plenty of time and there's many, many years ahead of us. But then the Bible says, why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. Now, we don't want to get on a downer here. But there are things that are going on where people are making decisions like we've got all the time in the world. And the consequence of those decisions, well, whatever they'll be, we'll sort them out if we have to face them one day. That's how life generally is lived by many people. And that's how somebody's, the financial thing has been, well, it's a big mess, it's a big clag, well, never mind. We'll still pay ourselves some massive bonuses anyway. We'll still do this and that anyway. You know, so what? Let's just read on for a moment. Chapter 5. Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. This is really encouraging this morning. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. But just listen to who he's referring to. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. It's pretty hot stuff. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. But listen, look, the wages you paid to pay the workmen who have moved your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter or disaster. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who are not opposing you. What does all that refer to? It refers to those that are running nations and doing all kinds of stuff that have been fattening their pockets, living in luxury, while the people have been in despair, they've been crying out, people have been murdered because they've tried to rise up again. This isn't just now, this has happened in history right across the day, and it's happening now in our time, but it's just because of the TV and the web, we can see it all right in front of our eyes. And the word even addresses that. There's nothing wrong with having money, nothing wrong with being rich. What it's talking about here is the people that are using the people to make themselves rich, but they treat them like slaves and they deal with them however they want to, and they're running countries doing this, that and the other, abusing people. It's happening in our day. It's happening right now. So we've got a financial cloud going on in the world. We've got nations and revolutions taking place right now where the people have had enough. They're crying out from the field saying, enough is enough. What is that? It's the cry of creation shouting out, saying, we've had enough of this oppression. There's got to be something else. There's got to be another way. And it's a cry that's coming out from people's hearts, saying there's got to be freedom, there's got to be hope, there's got to be something else than this oppression, than this abuse, the way we've been treated that's going on. There's a cry coming up from creation with these natural disasters. When we were chatting the other day at home, just watching the news, me and Megs, and they showed a few pictures of things. And she said, Dad, why doesn't God step in? And if he knew it was going to happen, why didn't he step in and stop it? You know? And so you're like, right, okay, here we go. And so what I said to her is what I said to you guys at the beginning. See, God created things, man in his image. He created everything on earth, brought us into relationship, gave us free will. We sinned. It didn't just put man out of kilter, but the whole of creation. God's working out his plan for mankind, for salvation, his purposes. Jesus will come back, new heaven, new earth. But in the meantime, there's a period of time that's got to be lived out. And within that time, you know, I said, there's all kinds of struggles and strife. There's good and there's bad and there's great things that happen, but there's rough things that happen as well. And there's consequences. Basically, we're living in a world where there's consequences to man's independence and doing his own thing. And part of that, I said to Megs, is not just man that's out of kilter, but the whole of creation shifted at that moment when Adam and Eve acted independently from God and creation went out of kilter with God. So I said, you've got the middle of the earth that is on fire, and it's, you know, and every now and then it releases pressure, and there's things called plates, and when the pressure's released, the plates move, it flicked the water, and this whole massive wave, and all the consequences of that. And does God want that to happen? No, but there's a period of time where the consequences of man's sin is being outworked before Jesus comes back with ultimately judgment or whatever's going to happen as well. And all of that. And she can understand that. But I said, God is good because he's made a way for people to be saved in the middle of all that, to know him. Amen. And if you want to turn to Matthew 24 quickly. Verse 4. Jesus is speaking. I think this is probably verses chapter 23, 24 and 25. It's probably the longest sermon that's recorded anywhere, or the amount that Jesus spoke that's recorded here in one go. But let's have a look what it says. Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, which is what we're seeing, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Wow, this is amazing. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Man, Jesus is warning us here, and we've got to be ready. How, though? But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. But how does he stand firm? And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So in the midst of all of this stuff that's going on, what is God saying? I want you to be a people of the gospel of the kingdom. of people who live the truth, who live the gospel, who live that out. And so over the next however long it takes, we're going to be looking at, well, what is the gospel and how do we live that out with one another? But how do we live the gospel out in society, out in the community, where there's so many pressures these days to, whether it's conforming to political correctness or a belief system or a lifestyle system or whatever it is going on there, how do we as believers today in this society live out the gospel in an uncompromising way, but yet that it's full of mercy, grace and love? Not judgment, self-righteousness and arrogance or something, but how do we live an undiluted, how do we live an uncompromised gospel that actually draws people to know Jesus? The gospel at the end of the day is good news. How many of you know the gospel is good news? The gospel is good news. So as Christians, we're coming with the best news possible. We're coming with hope. We're coming with joy because we know that there's a good God who has good news because the gospel is good. Let's just have a look at a couple of other scriptures first. Luke 21, before we get into couple of other things. Luke 21. Same kind of stuff from Matthew, but at the end of this verse, part in 28. When these things begin to take place, all of the stuff we've been talking about, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Anybody know what Ephesians 5 verse 16 says? I knew you would. Make the most of every opportunity, right? Because the days that you live in are evil. So, now, we might not face natural disasters here. In our nation, we don't generally have earthquakes. Certainly, if there's the odd one, it's not going to do any damage. We don't have whirlwinds. We don't have hurricanes. We might have the odd strong storm or something. And every now and then, we know 20-something years ago, we had one that, you know, did a lot of damage. But we're not in a kind of, we're not in a certain place in the world where we're ravaged with natural disasters and all of that. So it's very easy to become remote from a lot of what goes on, you know, saying, well, you know, we're not going to have volcanoes or earthquakes or this, that or the other. So maybe that's not so immediate in terms of society crumbling or the nation of Japan, for example. You know, I mean, if that nuclear thing exploded, what would that do for the whole of the nation? What do you do globally with the weather patterns and blowing things across the earth? Man, there's such a thin line between everything's all right today, I can enjoy today, and law and order. There is such a thin line in our society, law and order. We walk around in one of the safest places. Horsham is one of the safest places in this nation to live. That's brilliant, isn't it? But yet there's a fine line between law and order. If you took the police away, what would start happening in society? People already are into crime and into doing all kinds of things to people. Now, if you took law and order out, what on earth would be going on? We'd have anarchy. It would be nuts. Everybody would be their own. I mean, people would be weaponed the lot. It would be, I don't know what it would be. But it would be absolute mayhem. So we live in a little bit of a veneer of kind of, yeah, everything's all right. Society's not too bad yet. Bit of a financial challenge here and there. But it's not too bad. We're not going to get overrun by a tsunami. We're not going to have a nuclear meltdown in this nation and this and that and the other. So, but yet, there's a lot of other things that want to come against us to cause us to be apathetic or to cause us to just become familiar with stuff or just to water things down a bit so that we don't really live for the eternal, which is to live for today as if Jesus was coming back today. The enemy is at work just as much in our nation as in any other nation. We might not face certain things, but we face other things like other religions. We face political correctness. We face the lifestyles of society, what is acceptable, what isn't. We live in a postmodern society, post-Christian society, where people don't take Christian values as read anymore. People don't even know the stories in the Bible anymore. If you just say, well, the Bible says, and some people look into, well, I don't care what the Bible says. It doesn't have the same weight in people's minds as it maybe did one or two generations ago. People don't, you know, well, what's the difference between that and the Quran? What's the difference between that and something else, another religious book? Why just because the Bible says, should I listen to you? And this is where, as the people of God, if we're people that are living the gospel, living in the power of the gospel, living in the authority of the gospel, the weighting of the gospel, as a people of mercy, grace, and love, then there's something of the power of God, the weightiness of God that is released through our lives, that is more than just, well, I believe the Bible, well, I don't, I believe the Quran, or I don't. They see a demonstration of the Bible, the Word of God, the gospel in action in our lives, because it's not just with words, but it comes with power. It comes with a weightiness. It comes with God in it, because God is the only true and living God. It's amazing. There, you know, people talk about other gods, but there is no other God. There's only one God with a capital G, and that's the God of the Bible. There isn't another God. There's only man-made gods, idols, things they've made up, but there's only one God. So all roads do lead to the one God, because there's only one God. I better be careful what I say there. I don't mean all religions and all beliefs. But there is only one God. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ. Amen. So there's only one true living God. And we've got to be, we're probably all, most of us anyway in the room, probably convinced of that one already. But let's just have another couple of scriptures. Philippians 1, 27. Whatever happens, so whatever happens, there's all sorts of whatevers going on at the moment. Whatever happens, our financial system is still, it's right on the edge, it's cracking. And with all this stuff going on in the Middle East, with the oil, how much of the oil affects global economy? I mean, it's like globally, we're standing on thin ice at the moment. This isn't a message of doom this morning. It's just, you know, there's a reality of the day that we're living in and the hour that we're in. And we need to understand that God is working out a salvation purpose. God wants to accelerate us, the importance of not just us living the gospel with each other, but living it and the power of it at work in other people's lives. And the need to be communicating that, getting it out there in different ways. Let's have a look. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And we're going to look at what that means over the next however long it takes. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my presence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man. That's all of us. That we're one in spirit, of one spirit, contending like one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it's been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also, it's going to be interesting, to suffer for him. We know there's already some of that going on in certain nations of the world. If you even stick your hand up and say you got an interest in Jesus, they put you in prison, or they persecute you, or even kill you. And again, as a nation, man, we don't face that really. We don't really face, we face opposition, but we don't really face any persecution in this nation. If we're really honest. Can we be honest today? That we get opposition, but we don't really get persecuted. Persecuting is when you get beaten up for your faith. You get imprisoned, you know, or you get killed off. You know, that's persecution. We get a bit of opposition, and as a church here, but as the church in the nation, we need to just rise up a bit, stand up a bit, grow up a little bit. And as James said last week, get over some of what can be seen as, oh, you know, and actually it's like, come on, it's time to rise in the things of God. Because the gospel is the answer. It's the only answer, the gospel of the kingdom. Okay, just... And then it just says here, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now here that I still have. Okay, now, I just want to really, really quickly, in 5 minutes, just go through a couple of scriptures. Because we want to live in the life and the power of the gospel. So what is the gospel? Okay, so we're not going to go into that in detail today. We're going to look at this and unfold it so that we actually can then apply things in our lives. Those of you doing Discipleship Academy, you enjoying it?
Yes.
It's brilliant. And, you know, Pastor Jonathan Dyett was doing one a couple of weeks ago, and he said that the gospel, as we know, means good news. But the word for good news is angelos, and the word angelos means to bring victory into the life of the hearer. Now, that is good news. The gospel of good news is to bring the victory of God into the life of the hearer. That's what the gospel is. It's to bring the goodness or the victory, the life of God, into the life of the one who hears it. So that's why the gospel is good news. That's why the gospel is the power of God for salvation, because the gospel is the life of God at work in somebody's life. How many of you know, if the gospel is at work, it's going to overcome anything else that could try and have an effect in somebody's life. And also, in terms of the gospel, we want to be completely gospelized. Pastor Colin talked about this a while ago. To be evangelized is to be gospelized. Evangelism isn't just telling somebody the message, or I've given the gospel. To be gospelized is to live the gospel in its fullness, in its wholeness, if you like. And so we want to be more gospelized over the next few months so that we live out the gospel in an even more fruitful and effective way than we ever have before. In our own lives, and what that means in terms of our own families and friends and people we're reaching out to. Okay, so I'm just going to go through a few things really quickly. So Romans 1 verse 16, everybody know that one? Thanks. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because it is the power of God for the salvation of
everyone.
A few or everyone.
Everyone
who believes. And it says first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. So what the Bible's saying is, no matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, the gospel is for every person, every culture on the planet, no matter where you are. It's the power of God for salvation. What else does it say? In Mark 1:14, we'll go more into depth in all of these over the next few weeks. It says the gospel the good news is the gospel of God.
Yes.
Paul, in Galatians 1, I think it is, verse 11, he talks about the gospel doesn't come from a human origin.
Right.
He says that he received the gospel by revelation from Jesus. So the gospel is supernatural.
Yeah.
The gospel is not natural. It's supernatural. It's the gospel of God.
Yes. Come on.
So it's not a man-made message. It's the gospel. It's the life of God. It's the purpose of God. It's the salvation of God. That's what the gospel is. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. So it's the gospel of God. It's not a man-made thing or from another religion somewhere else. Romans, again, once it's the power of God for salvation. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, it talks about the gospel for salvation, or the gospel saves. What does the word save there? It doesn't just mean to forgive. The word save there means to forgive and to heal. It means to make whole, the word save there means to bring back to its original intention. So the gospel is there to make us whole, to bring us back to the original intention that God has for us as people. What is that? It's to know God, to be in right relationship with God. So the gospel saves. What else is the gospel? The gospel heals. If you look in Luke 7 and Luke chapter 9, it's talking about the gospel healing. The gospel coming with demonstration. The gospel isn't just a message. In Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, it says, 2 Corinthians 4, I think it is, where it talks about the gospel of the kingdom, or the kingdom is not a matter of talk, but of power. Where's that? Somewhere or other verse, anyway, it's in Corinthians. I didn't write it down. But it talks about the gospel the kingdom is not a matter of talk, but of power. So the gospel is not just words, it's life, it's power, it's demonstration. There's a reality, it's something tangible that affects people's lives, okay? What else? So the gospel heals. There's loads of references, and we'll go into all this more about what it means to live in the healing power of the gospel. What does it mean to live in the saving power of the gospel? What does it mean to live in the good news of the gospel? What else? In Luke 2, it talks about the gospel of joy. So what does it mean to live in the joy of the gospel, the joy of your salvation? We're looking at all of that so that we're living this abundant, overflowing life individually together as a people that you can't keep quiet because it can't be shut up in your bones because there's so much life in there, you just got to release it, whether it comes out in joy, whether it comes out with love, whether it comes out in mercy, whether it comes out with grace, whether it comes out in unfailing, however it comes out, it's just going to come out because it can't be shut up in your bones. Because it's alive. He's alive in us because he is the gospel. Amen. It's the gospel of grace, Acts verse 20, chapter 20, verse 24. It's the gospel of peace, Acts chapter 10, verses 36 to 38. It's the gospel of glory. Come on. It's the gospel of favor. You read, there's loads of verses to do with it. It's the gospel of hope. It's the gospel that brings life to the dead. It's the gospel of light. The gospel is the nature and the character of God that is revealed in our lives that we can then live in the fullness of. The gospel isn't just a message. The gospel is the life of who God is that is downloaded into us when we know him. And then we can live the fullness of that life and that gospel, overcoming opposition. Overcoming the enemy. Why? Because that gospel has already overcome everything that would seek to try and overcome us. So we want to go on a little bit of discovery the next few weeks or months. A little bit of digging, a little bit of, you know, so that we as a people, we're come on, this is the gospel. I'm living in the joy of the gospel. This is how I do it. I'm living in the hope of the gospel. This is what it looks like. I'm living in the joy of the gospel. This is what it looks like. I'm living in the forgiveness of the, this is what it looks like. I'm living in the mercy of the gospel. This is what it looks like. I'm living in the healing power of it. This is what it looks like. How many of you want to just live the gospel so people can just see it in you in a way that they before they've even heard it from you? Amen. So, it's going to be great these next few months. Whoever's preaching, that's what we're going to be preaching about. All right. Different, the power, the life, the goodness of the gospel. It's the only way to be saved. It's the only way to know God through Jesus Christ. It talks about not just the gospel of God, but it talks about the gospel of Jesus. It talks about the gospel of Christ. There's only one gospel. There's only one way to know Jesus. And that doesn't mean we become hard. Because living the gospel is full of mercy. It's full of grace. Unfailing love. It's the nature and character of God being expressed. That's what the gospel is. How many of you just want to express and ooze the nature and the character of God? Because that's who you've got in you. And that's why you're given the Holy Spirit. So you've got the Spirit of God in you that enables you to ooze the nature and the character of God. Pretty awesome, isn't it? Let's stand together, shall we? So this is a bit of an opener. I mean, it all flows in with where we've been the last few weeks and everything. But we want to just go this little bit deeper. What does it mean to see the salvation of the gospel at work in our lives and other people's lives? God wants to release more faith in our lives, you know, to see more and more things take place through our lives into other people's lives. That we're looking for the life and the power and the hope and the whatever of the gospel to be at work, you know, to be expressed at any moment through us. So, How many of you just, it's like, God, I want to be a person who lives the gospel, oozes the gospel, expresses the gospel, believes the gospel, lives the gospel and all of that. Let's just raise our hands. Father, I thank you this morning for a people that are hungry, a people that desire to want to walk with you, to know you. Father, I thank you for a fresh revelation and encounter with you in these coming weeks in the life and the power of the gospel. Father, I thank you there'd be a fresh revelation of the gospel of God in our lives, that there is only one way to salvation, and that's through Jesus. Father, I thank you for a fresh convincing and conviction in every one of our lives that rises and says, Jesus is the only way. He's the only hope. And I've got to communicate that. I can't shut this up in my bones any longer. It's got to come out because of what God's doing in me and who he is in me. Father, I thank you for a revelation of the mercy of the gospel, the grace of the gospel, the love of the gospel, the life in the gospel, the healing of the gospel, the joy of the gospel, the power of the gospel, the authority of the gospel, the overflowing life of the gospel, the righteousness of the gospel. Wow. It's the gospel of righteousness. living in the righteousness of God. It's not a work of our own, it's a work of God. Living without nagging in the back of your mind or the back of your life somewhere. It's living free from that kind of thing. Living in the freedom of the gospel to know that the old has gone, the new has come. Your sin has been dead, buried, crucified, dead and buried in Christ. You're now raised to a new life, to live in the fullness of the gospel, free from condemnation, free from accusation, living in the freedom of who you are as a son of God. So, Father, I just thank you for a fresh release of life around here in every dimension of your nature and character, a release of joy where we just can't keep still. We're jumping about. We're praising you, whether it's on Sunday or whether it's on a Monday. That same joy flowing, overflowing, breaking out in a fresh way. Father, I thank you. I praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise your awesome name, your mighty name, your wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Some of you need healing this morning. You need the healing power of the gospel just to touch your life this morning. You've already got the healer in you. That's pretty awesome. You've already got your healing in you. How many of you know you've got Christ in you? If you've got Christ in you, how many of you know that Christ is the healer? He is healing. And therefore, if you've got Christ in you, then you already have your healing within you. So you can take hold of that this morning and say, Jesus, I thank you that you are whole. You are healthy. There's no sickness in you because you've already dealt with it all. So I thank you that I can take hold of my healing right now and I appropriate that in my body now in Jesus' name. And I thank you for your healing grace, burning out every sickness, every disease, everything that would seek to come against my physical, mental, or emotional being. And I command that lot to go right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you for my healing being released in my body right now. I'm free from aches and pains. I'm free from this, that, or the other, whatever it is. You take hold of it right now. Take hold of the power of the gospel that is at work in you this morning. Rise up in faith. Be bold. Come on, let's hear that faith this morning. Rise up in your faith this morning. Take hold of the healing power of who Jesus is in you this morning. Take hold of it. Rise up this morning. Don't say, Father, please would you heal me and do something I hope today. Take hold of it and say, Father, I thank you that you are my healing. You are my health, my wholeness, my fullness. And I tell every symptom to get out of my body this morning now in Jesus' name. And I thank you for health and well-being right now. Right now, right now, right now, right now, in my body, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Aches and pains leaving people's bodies. Pete, your back being healed now in Jesus' name. No more aches and pains and restrictions. Your disc coming into order right now, whatever it is. Father, I thank you for your healing grace. Yes. Come on, it's time that we didn't settle for anything less than what God says we have. There's challenges to that. Your feelings sometimes say, my feelings don't say that. Sometimes circumstances, well, they don't say that. But that's what we heard the other week. There's this wall, this walking on a wall of truth. But the facts and the circumstances say, well, you're sick or this or that or the other. And it's like, what are we going to look at? Are we going to look at the facts and the circumstances? Or say, no, the truth says, because of who he is in me, that I can walk in the fullness of who I am in Christ. So I take hold of that. And I'm not going to say, well, I'm sick because of this or I've got a problem because of that. I'm saying, no, I can deal with that because the truth says something else. Oh, I love Jesus, don't you? Because he's already answered all the questions. He's already said yes and amen to everything that we need a yes and amen for. That's why we can take hold of the word and take hold of the truth and say, yes, amen, it's mine, I've got it, because he's already done it and given it. It's quite shouty this morning, sorry. It's not so much of a chat today. But maybe if you don't know Jesus, you think, well, you're a bit on one up there, aren't you? But you know, in God, there is the fullness of life. there is a satisfaction that happens in you. See, in life, we sometimes need things. In life, stuff's happened. And we feel like I need something or something's got to happen. In life, we can stretch out four things that we think will satisfy. And many of us have probably discovered that you can have a dream for something, and when you get it, it's like, well, I've got it now, and it didn't fulfill me or meet the thing I thought it was going to do in me. So actually, what's next? Whether it's stuff or whether it's a relationship or whether whatever it is, you know, and when you get there, you find actually it's not quite what I thought it was going to be. Maybe for a while you think this is great, but then you get to a point where it's like, hang on, there must be more than what I've, you know. And actually, in God, there's a satisfaction, a fulfillment. There's something that you find in God because He is full and complete. He lacks nothing. He doesn't need anything. Therefore, when He comes into your life, there's a lot of stuff that is replaced. And you don't have a longing for certain things anymore. It's like, well, I don't know, because there's a fulfillment, there's a satisfaction, I've been made whole and complete because God is now in my life. Now, you've got to walk that out and all of that. There's a reality to living that out. But something happens in you when you give your life to Jesus. It's not about stopping doing stuff and can't I do this anymore and all of that. It's amazing, you know. And when you give your life to Jesus, something changes in here. And the things you want to do now, you actually find you don't want to do anymore. Now, you might think at this point, if you don't know God, but I want to do those things and I'll be missing out if I don't. Well, you know, when you give your life to God, there's a fulfillment. And actually, those things that you think will fulfill you now, they won't fulfill you once you give your life to God. But you're only going to discover that if you give your life to God and begin a relationship with Jesus. So let's just take a few moments to pray and just respond to God this morning. And maybe, whether you know God or not this morning, or whether you know God and you've walked away and you're like, man, I need to get right with God again. All of us can reach out for stuff or something. I think all of us just need to come back this morning and say, God, I want you to be my total satisfaction. I want you to be the one that is my fulfillment. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, or you need to get right with God because, you know, I've walked away from God and I realise I need to come back to God. I've not been walking with Him forever. How long? Just talk to the Lord for a moment and just say, God, would you have mercy on me? Would you just forgive me? I need to make a new start with you. This is just an initial response to God saying, God, I want to get things right with you. So if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, or you've walked away and you need to come back, just ask Him to have mercy on you first of all. Because we don't deserve God's goodness. But because He is good, He has made a way. He's made it possible for us to be forgiven. Yes. And to actually come into a right relationship or a relationship with Him where we're forgiven. Amazing. A holy God has done something for you and me so that we can be forgiven and then have a relationship with Him. I think it's awesome. Father, you know, just ask God, have mercy on me. And I ask you that you forgive me for my sin and all the stuff I've done that separates me from you. And I ask you right now to forgive me, but I want to make a beginning, take a first step and say, God, I want to give you my life now. And I want you to give me your life. I want this life that is satisfaction, that is fullness that I've been hearing about today. And so I give you my life this morning. I want to begin a relationship with you today. I want to discover who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, if anybody's just prayed that in some way this morning, whether you're here for the first time and or you've been here before, but you haven't known Jesus, if you prayed that in any way, can you just raise your hand for me so I can see where you are? If anybody's prayed that at all, whether you're just giving your life back to the Lord or thank you. Anybody else? Just pray for a moment. Father, I thank you for those that are responding to you. I thank you that you just show more of who you are into their lives this morning. Father, we thank you that your heart is so much for us as people. And I thank you this morning that as we pray with different people, that you're just going to seal in their lives their salvation and what you want to do today. So we just praise your name. We give you glory, Jesus. We thank you. Can we have the band up? All right. Thank you, Jesus. You're so, so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. If we're just going to praise the Lord to finish this morning, but if you responded this morning and you prayed in some way, we'd love to have a chat with you just afterwards. Just talk with you for a few minutes and just pray with you. And it'd be great just to help you just connect with God right at the start of a new life with Him. And that'd be cool, wouldn't it? So how many of you just want to celebrate and thank God for who He is? Are you up for that this morning? Let's all jump to our feet, shall we? And, you know, I don't know, do you ever, you know, when you're at home praying here, do you ever jump up and down and praise the Lord and just yes. Glad the curtains are shut and nobody can see in? Do you ever have those moments?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah?
I think we should just thank God for who He is, celebrate. You know, I mean, I do that without any music on. Doesn't sound that brilliant, but anyway, you know, God filters it with His little whatever tuning thing, and it sounds all right when it gets there. But we're going to praise the Lord for a few minutes. Is that all right?
Amen.
I think we should just thank God for who He is, what He's doing amongst us, and just for who He is. Really, you ready?
Amen.
Let's go.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.